Ephesians. Appreciate the good service we had Sunday morning. Amen. If I was a preacher here the first time, y'all would scare me to death tonight. I don't know if y'all were just tired or fed up or you've... Somebody holler amen though when I preach tonight. Bud David's the only one saying anything tonight. We don't have rainwater on our sign out front, do we? Be sure I'm in the right place, Brother Joe. I'm in the land of the living tonight. Well, y'all lift up your chin. Jesus said He'd go with us to the end. Amen. Well, all right. Best thing I've had in my hand all day, by the way. Ephesians 4, verse number 12 this evening. The Bible said for verse 11, He gave some apostles. And He gave some prophets, and He gave some evangelists and some pastors. Boy, I sure am glad He did. And teachers, where would we be without them? And He said, I'm going to tell you why He gave them to you, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, I want to tell you something right there just a second. I love singing. But do you find singing in verse 11? Okay, verse 12, why did He give us them? For the perfecting. It takes preaching, neighbor. It takes teaching. Now, I'm not against singers. Thank God we got several. I wished I could do more. You may be seated, by the way. I wished I could do more than what I can do in the singing department. But let me tell you, the reason churches are falling by the wayside, and it's not because the lack of singing. But it's the lack of presenting the Word of God. He said He gave these to us, a gift. Boy, God knows how to give us what we need, don't He? You know, I've noticed this. A lot of times He don't give me what I want. Now, He does give me a few things I want, but most time He gives me more what I need instead of what I want. Anybody have a daddy raise you that way? I mean, you go down to five and dime and you done had all that last week, but you want it this week. He said, no, you ain't getting that right now. And you throw the fit. But not long. Amen. We didn't have time out down at the Rose's store. He'd take time out. He'd take time out to tie the mayonnaise aisle down with you. Amen. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I'm going to preach tonight on some instructions to the local church. Some instructions to the local church. And I hope I don't get too carried away tonight, but it really burdens me of some things that's going on in our community and in our country. You know, Jesus said perilous times shall come. They're here on us. No doubt. I mean, you just look around. It's amazing what's going on in our country. I mean, country as a whole. It's amazing of what's going on. It amazes me. Nobody wants to vote for people that have morals and standards and what they believe about this book. You know, everything's about economy and the dollar. But, you know, that Jesus said those things would happen. But the things that's really bothering me tonight is Christian people. People that me and you have went to church with. People that me and you have been raised with. Let me ask y'all something. What in the world is going on? Now, I want to tell you something. You know the reason this church would quit becoming a Baptist church is because of ignorance. Because somebody has neglected to preach the doctrines that Jesus laid out for us to teach. Now, it's become real easy to tickle the ears of the people. A lot of people think, well, you know, Ken Bowman, as hard as he preaches on Sunday morning, you know, I was eating tonight, had two families call me over there in the Mexican restaurant. They called me over there, brother, and I said, I want to tell you something. We enjoy y'all's radio program. I got ready to go out the door. Another boy said, hey, come here, preacher. I love to hear you preach on the radio. You know what I said? Won't you come to church? Amen. And so, you know, I don't understand people. I thought the church house was a place where we're to glorify the Lamb of God and preach the doctrines of God and enjoy the saints of God. You know, you look at that pulpit tonight, honey, it ain't made there for singing. And it ain't made for a politician. It's made for preaching the Word of God. And sometimes it hurts you. Sometimes it hurts me. But God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And I ain't a backing up off what I believe. And just because we've added on an addition, I ain't backing off to fill it up. I'm going to preach with the love of Christ and a smile on my face. Whether it's one here, 500, I'm going to shout the victory of the Lord. He still saves those sinners tonight. What's happened to our churches? Would you have ever thought, I'm 50 years old, be 51, March 17th, and you can keep them comments to yourself, I know I look older than that. Some of you just ain't never woke up places I've woke up in. But I can tell you this, 30 years ago when I come in this part of the country, knew nothing about the Baptist church. I never seen what was going on in our Baptist churches like we see tonight. Now, you know why? It's not the congregation dropped the ball. The preachers dropped the ball. The preachers drop the ball. And it does a preacher a lot of good to know that people's on his team in his church. Man, sometimes I preach on Sunday morning, people are looking at the carpet like, man, we brought visitors here today, I wish you'd hush. They need to hear the truth like you need to hear. I'm not talking about with a mean spirit and a bad attitude. I'm talking about, honey, we're to be separate people from what this world's doing. Now I want you to look what this book's going to stand when the world's burning. First of all, I want to say the instructions to the church. It has to do with doctrine. Doctrine defines us. Doctrine describes us. Doctrine directs us. And doctrine defends us. We got a Baptist church out on the side of the highway for one reason. It represents doctrine. Baptist doctrine. And when people come here that do different than we do, honey, they ought to leave mad. This ain't a socialist gospel. Where's women preachers in the Bible? Why is somebody going to get mad at a Baptist pastor because he stands on what he believes? You tell me, how in the world do you read the husband of one wife? How can that be a woman? Where any place did anybody got to do with baptism sprinkling with a hose pipe? It ain't in the Bible. It's immersion. And then people come visit and say, well, that preacher, he's just too vocal. He's just too hard. He don't like nobody. I don't like liberals. And let me tell you something tonight, Liberty Baptist Church. You watch it. You write this down. I ain't a 51-year-old, but you put this in your Bible somewhere, honey. I said this. Write it down. I said this. You ready? I said this. Are you ready? I said this. Amen. Did y'all hear me? I said this. If it starts leaning, it'll fall. Amen. You let the youth come in here and take over and go to singing their new songs for long. She'll fall. Amen. You let a boy come in here and teach a Sunday school lesson or something beside a King James Version Bible, watch out, she'll fall.
Amen. That's right.
Let a woman get up and teach adult Sunday school class, watch her, she'll fall.
Amen.
Hold on to your britches now.
Amen.
I've been in this book since about daybreak this morning. I'm dangerous tonight. Now he says something about doctrine. What's doctrine? Tell me how a Baptist church that's always been a Baptist church could be something else tomorrow. I'll tell you why. Because that preacher didn't preach nothing to them. If I left out of here, I'd start my 18th or 19th year. Sometimes feels like 30. Sometimes it feels like 6 months. Looking at some of y'all feels about like 45. Let's say God calls me out of here, and I don't think He will. I don't have no inklings that He will. I really believe I'll be here till some of y'all come and visit me someplace in a funeral home, or we go in the clouds. I believe God, I really do. I believe God has sent me here till I'm an old man, can't preach no more. And I know some of y'all hate that. But let me tell you something. If God pulls me out of here and puts another man here, what will you believe? What have I taught you before I leave? Where can you go in your Bible and back up what the next man's going to say? Because it don't matter what I say or the next man say, honey. If we out of that book, we out of that book. I hope they play this Sunday morning on the radio. Now you look what the Bible says. That we henceforth, verse 14, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Something new comes along, a Baptist preacher will swallow it if he thinks he can get 3 more people in the church. Let's have goldfish swallowing Sunday and see if we can get 9 more people and entertain them. Let me tell you, honey, God never intended the church house to be in the entertaining business. We ought to have enough God in us to get our backside here every time the door's open to exalt the Lord Jesus, to listen to those songs and apply teaching and preaching of the Word of God in our heart. I mean, He just died for us. That's all He done. You can sit there and somebody give y'all a movie. It's got 2, 3, 4-part series. You had no problem for a 4-hour movie. But a preacher goes past 12 o'clock, you get to tapping your watch like that we done got ignorant, can't tell time. Doctrine. Why do we believe what we believe? Well, I go to church where Brother Ken preaches. Okay, when Brother Ken quits preaching, where are you going to go to church? How does a Baptist church cease from being a Baptist church that was today and cease being that tomorrow? I can tell you why. They had no doctrine. Doctrine offends people. I got family in the wrong doctrine. You hear me? But I'm not going to be quiet about the right doctrine. Water baptism don't get you to heaven, neighbor. That's wrong doctrine. Doctrine defines us. When we got Baptists on the sign out there, it lets people know what we are. It directs us, keeps us going in the right direction. It describes us, lets people know what we are. Well, we got church on the sign. Why does people leave so disappointed when we have church? What was they expecting? I know it's the prettiest place in town. It ought to be. I mean, what are they expecting? A gal come out in a nice, pretty gown, say, how y'all doing this morning? Now go home. I wish some of y'all could stand up here and see what me and Brother Tim and Brother David sees. So now I wish y'all could stand up here and see what I see people saying like, did we really come here? Doctrine, what's doctrine? Let me tell you tonight, doctrine is simply instruction. It's instructions that Christ taught. Now, we see in Mark 1 and 21, you can write this down, Jesus offended some people with doctrine. My goodness, it's 8 o'clock. Mark 1 and 21. Now there is, first of all, the appearance of doctrine. Jesus said this, they went into Capernaum and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered in the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine. Doctrine. There is the appearance of doctrine. Then John 7 verse 16, John 7 verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. There's the appearance of doctrine, and there's the approval of doctrine. God sanctions doctrine. God wants us to know why we are what we are and who we are. The average Baptist don't know if they're a pig or a possum. Well, Brother Ken said it. Well, okay, back up Brother Ken with the Scripture. Oh, y'all know Brother Ken. He won't lead you wrong, man. He's been there a long time. We go to Brother, down there where Brother Ken preaches. Well, tell me why you believe what you believe. When I leave out of here one day and somebody comes and stands here, I hope our young people's going to know something about doctrine. Amen? Because y'all going to be on in glory with me too. You know, y'all ain't no bunch of spring chickens. Amen. Amen. Say amen right there, Brother Larry. You know that's right. The appearance of doctrine, the approval of doctrine. And then 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Look at the applause of doctrine. Doctrine's very important. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, instructions to the local church. We must practice doctrine. We must be taught doctrine. Let me share just a few things with you tonight about what Baptists believe, then I'll move on. I done made about half of you mad. I may make 90% of you mad before I'm done with this. First of all, the King James Bible is the Word of God. Now, this is what happens, okay? If we don't stand on the King James Bible, then you know what? You'll fall for anything. When you come dogmatically off the... Well, preacher, why are you so staunch on this? Because it's the Word of God. We need... When you've got the best, why you won't look anyplace else? This saved your great-grandpa, if he got saved. This has saved your great-grandbabies, if somebody will stand up and preach it. I want to say that in our Baptist doctrine, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I go a step further. Not only the Bible, the King James Bible. It's the only literature that we will accept here, period, end of conversation. Number two, salvation by grace through faith, Ephesians chapter number two. How you get saved, preacher? You get saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, verse number 8. Ephesians 2, verse number 8. If I was a newcomer, I never heard nothing about the Word of God, and I want to know how to be saved, then how do I get saved? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Listen to me, I cannot work my way into heaven. I can do no good deed to get me to heaven. This hogwash about live the best you can, and when you get there, if your good outweighs your bad, he'll let you in. That's not in your Bible. We are saved by grace through faith, end of conversation. that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Baptist doctrine of salvation. Then, regeneration. When one receives Christ, the Holy Spirit does an internal work within the person to redirect their life, making him or her to be born again. This is not choosing to turn over a new leaf, but is a matter of God beginning a lifelong process of changing desires and affections. Regeneration by the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus got the most religious man in our Bible, Nicodemus, come to him tonight. And he said, ye must be born again. Baptists believe in regeneration by the Spirit of God. The perseverance of the saints are the security of the believer. Brother Dennis prayed it tonight. I'm glad I'm eternally saved. Not because I do good works. I do good works because I got saved. I didn't do good works to get saved. What about when I do bad works? What about when I have bad thoughts? I'm human. What about that? Well, I don't get unsaved. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. Perseverance of the saints. A saved person can't lose their salvation. It simply means real Christians stick with it. John 10, verse 26. John 10, 26. Jesus said, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's pretty simple, is it not? We believe in the perseverance of the saints, or the security of the believers. Though cliche, the Baptist church, once saved, always say, what's in your Bible? The problem is most people never got saved. He said, we're a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away, but all things become new. Let me tell you what, I'm not perfect, but I'm not what I used to be. Amen. The Spirit of God lives in me, shows me when I do wrong. Nobody's got to tell me I've done wrong. The Holy Ghost shows me when I do wrong. He grieves me. Security of the believer. Then baptism. Baptism is an ordinance for believers only. It's by immersion only. That to baptism is a testimony of what Christ has done for the believer in His death, His burial, and resurrection. Baptism gives testimony to a salvation already received. Infant baptism is rejected. You'd be surprised the people that's told me in the business world days gone by. Are you ready to go to heaven? Oh, yeah, preacher, I've been saved. Hey, you tell me about it. Well, I was sprinkled when I was a baby. That's what people believe. That's doctrinal heresy. Now, we have baby dedication. You know what that means? We lay our children on the altar. We give them to God. We ask God to have His blessings upon them and to save them at the appointed time. Let me tell you something. Once a child reaches accountability, and I don't know what that age is, and you don't either. We don't know. The Bible don't teach us that. A lot of people says it's 12 years old, but that ain't in your Bible. That ain't in your Bible. God says some at 5, 6, some at 30. I don't know where it's at. God knows. But let me tell you something. You cannot baptize no baby into heaven. Baptism. What do we believe in baptism? Well, if you had a preacher say, well, listen, I'm tired of getting wet and it's no use and all that. They done saved anyone. We just want to go to sprinkling. Do you know what you need to say? No, wait a minute, preacher. The Bible don't teach that. You have the Bible. Amen? I mean, it's the right way to do everything. The preacher, yeah, the Bible. Well, let's bring our babies up here and let's pour water on them. And then let's tell them that they're fine. They've been sprinkled in the Baptist church. That ain't in the Bible. You've got to realize you're a sinner and need the Savior and call upon Him by faith. And then the Holy Spirit comes, baptizes you in the family of God, regenerates you and come and lives in you. The Bible says we're sealed to the day of redemption. Now, baptism. Infant baptism, that's hogwash. You'd be surprised at churches that practice that. And people grow up, they're not in church, life's never been changed, never been touched, but they can go back because it's in their Bible, it's on record, they got baptized as an infant. Well, that didn't do nothing. The church is only those who have personal faith in Jesus Christ. They comprise the true church in the eyes of God. No one is earthly born into the church. My two children had to be saved. Just because I'm a minister of the gospel, that don't mean they get a free ticket to glory. They've got to be saved individually. No one is earthly born in the church. Once you're saved, you join the local New Testament church. In God's eyes, there's one church. That's the born-again children of God, Christ's body, all across this nation that's been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. We are in a local church. We are Baptist by doctrine and Baptist by faith. And that's why. Now, the church, then, I want to say, concerning sexuality and marriage, you hear me and you hear me well. The sexual union were designed to be one man and one woman. Homosexuality is a sin.
Amen.
We are Baptist by doctrine. That's what we believe. One man, one woman. End of conversation. How does a woman and woman reproduce? They don't. Romans chapter number 1. Let me show you something there. I've never seen so many openly professing young people in the homosexual lifestyle. And let me tell you, it is amazing of the trends that's going on in our country. Now watch this. Romans chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie." Now, it looks like a politician would take the Bible and let that be the end of the story. "Worship served the creature more than the Creator, His blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even," here it is, "for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working which that is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of that error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Homosexuality is a sin. In Delaware, January the 1st, union of man and man, woman and woman, will be sanctioned and identified by the state as a legal practice, and they receive all the benefits of married couples, as we know. That's coming to Georgia. And let me tell you something. I want you to think about something just a minute. Now, I want you to put yourself in my shoes just a minute. Okay, the pastor drives a nice car and he wears nice clothes. I agree with all that. But let me ask you something. When you got 300 or 400 people sitting here that's never heard the preaching you've heard, and God puts it in a preacher to get up and preach against sin, how do you think we look to people? Do you think that it's just real fun rebuking society? Don't you like people to like you and accept you too? When you walk in a restaurant, do you like people pointing at you and laughing at you and your family? Because, oh, he's one of them old fogey preachers. He's crazy. You ever heard him preach? He don't believe in nothing going on today's right. Now let's think a minute. That's why so many men's backed off preaching. Their congregation don't stand with them. Very few places can you go to where a man will stand up in a pulpit and call sin, sin. And you know, let me say something about independent preachers. Most of them are so mean you can't set under them. In independent Baptist church, we have narrowed our doors down, Brother Mike, so narrow sinners can't get in there no more. Jesus died for sinners. When He saves people, they do different. They dress different. They act different. But until then, honey, let me tell you, we've got no responsibility to them but to tell them the truth. Doctrine. We must not back off doctrine. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. We believe, as Baptists, that the sexuality in marriage is sexual union was designed to be one man with one woman. Anything else is false. You'd be surprised how many in the school will not take a stance about what I'm preaching tonight. You'd be surprised how many churches will back off what I'm preaching tonight. The Trinity. We believe only in one God who reveals Himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The priesthood of believers. We believe all Christians have equal access to God's revelation of truth and His throne of grace. I'm glad I ain't got to bow before a man and he get me into heaven. I've seen people come to this church and because you preach straight doctrine, they look at you like, what's your problem? I don't got no problem. You rebuke sin, they look at you, well, you don't love nobody. No, if you love people, you tell them the truth. You become a little hill hound hireling. And that's where our countries went. Baptist preachers have shut up. You know why they shut up? Because the average church will throw them out on the street. Brother Carl Partain's here tonight. Brother Carl, probably in, I'd say, four times the meetings I'm in a year. I average a lot of times two revivals a month, 2 weeks a month. That's wonderful. He's out there every week. You go to him after service and ask him what he sees where he goes. It's unbelievable. But let me tell you something, folks. This is what I've learned. If you'll just stand on what you believe, then you ain't got to apologize to nobody. And if it's your family or if it's my family, if they wrong, they wrong. Don't matter whose family they're in. That's where churches get in a mess. Two or three families get the power, they get the stronghold over the preacher, and he gets scared to say anything about what their family's doing. And that's where we can't let our church get to. I've got leadership in this church. I don't run this church. God runs this church. I try to follow the Lord. These 8 or 9 men that I have with me make the decisions for this church. Go and put this down there in your notebook and hunt it after service. Church is not a democracy. It's theocracy. God runs it. Could y'all imagine if we voted on that color chandelier and these bulbs? I didn't like them to start with. But they're growing on me. But you know, Sunday morning, I mean, what do we preach to here? 350, on up sometimes nearly 400, if I ain't offended nobody 2 weeks before. Could y'all imagine if we all voted on that center chandelier right there, what color bulbs to put in that thing? Could you imagine what kind of chaos we'd have? It'd be colorful, wouldn't it, Brother Carl? I like that. It'd be colorful. One side be green, yeller. Well, listen, God knows what He's doing. God showed me to put that wing over there. This ain't my idea. Isn't it something on Sunday mornings how He's nearly done filled it up? You think I can do that? I can empty it. We've got to understand. So, yes, we have new people come to our church. We ought to welcome them. Praise God. I mean, I wish we was running 1,200 people. My preacher boy says, Pastor, you know, I love you, but you're crazy. Why do you want to pastor that many people? I want to see people get saved. I want to have 100 missionaries here before I'm done at this church. Now watch this. Let's say that we pick up 200 more new members. Okay, and they come in and want to change things. They can't change things. I'm the pastor, and I've got 8 leadership with me, and what they say goes. And guess what? When one falls out, guess who appoints them? I do. And you think I'm going to appoint somebody that ain't on my team? Are you crazy? I mean, I'm just telling you how it is. When I meet with my leadership group of men, I meet with the leadership group of men, and they say, Preacher, I just believe it's good. I believe it's the mind of God for us. It ain't no time to vote. We let our male members know in this direction we headed. We sure hope y'all with us, because we headed there. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And if you don't know about doctrine, and if God ever pulls me out of this pulpit and you get some clown come in, and he says, guess what, we ain't going to be Baptists no more because, you know, it offends people. It limits our opportunities. That's what boys are saying. It limits our opportunities when we're saying we're Baptists now. Say what? Limits your opportunities. And listen now, we can't have no cross because that offends way too many people. Oh, I'm just telling you where we're at. We can't have the cross because we offend to it. Well, let me ask yourself, where will we be without the cross? Where's your babies going without the cross? I've heard it, and I've said it. Every Baptist church is one preacher from going liberal unless they're doctrinated. Well, you know, a songbook's too inconvenient. Let's just have a big screen do with all songbooks. Nobody knows what number to turn to, no way. Don't nobody bring a Bible. Let's just put it up on a projector. And could you imagine somebody trying to keep up with me? I go to some of these churches, and man, these sound guys, they say, now, are you very vocal? I said, man, you don't know nothing. You don't move much when you preach, do you? I said, nah, don't worry about a thing. He said, teach doctrine. Doctrine. Now, this is what just tires me up about y'all. I wish all of my rednecks was here tonight. This is what most rednecks think. If he ain't hollering and slobbering and a shouting, he ain't a preaching. That beats anything I've ever seen. Well, what did he say? I don't know, but man, he run and slobbered and snotted everywhere. Had Brother Milford Biddle in, Brother Carr, one of the greatest preachers in America. He can quote the whole book of Revelation. Quote it. Open your Bible, he'll start, never miss a word. Quote it. And didn't start learning until he's 50 years. I had him in, and you know what some of y'all saying? When's he going to preach? He's preaching, dummy. It's expounding the Word. Doctrine. I love an exciting preacher. I know who our favorite preachers are here. I know that. I'm not near as ignorant as some of you think I am. But we need variety. We need a man come in can give you something that I don't give you every week. I give you running, shouting, hollering all the time. It goes like it. And I'll be honest with you, I try to study to give you doctrine. I do. Matter of fact, I thought Sunday morning was pretty good message. Most of y'all don't remember what I said, but I think it's a pretty good message. We've got to have doctrine. And you know what? Somebody, I'm just going to say it and leave because I'm over time. If I drop the reins, somebody else will pick them up. Paul said, you take the oversight thereof. Because if you don't, somebody else will. So tonight, we must practice doctrine. If people come here, you know what? They do as we do. We don't do as they do. We're grounded. I'm here to stay. This is my home. It's a lot easier for somebody to move a ladder than me move all my books. Had an old boy joined up here one time, then he's going to straighten me out. He said, I'm limiting our church growth because of what I believe. I said, is that right? Really? I said, well, let me ask you something. Where you came from, how many did you see get saved there? We didn't see nobody get saved. How many missionaries was you running? I don't know, I'm a missionary. And come to find out, what was the matter was, I'd done preached a sermon that loaded their wagon. And this was going on in their family. And I said it wasn't right. And so she got behind the scenes. And so he's going to come straighten the preacher out. And here come Brother Dennis in the parking lot. Praise God, Brother Dennis. Did y'all know the Bible said something that annoys me? I can't be a brawler. That's awful. I'm talking about a boy come up where I come up. That just don't fit. I mean, you asked him. He done got up your preacher's face out, John. I mean, let me tell you something. When people come here, love on them. People need a good place to go to church. Love on them. Accept them. What they believe different, leave that up to God. Let God be God. Let's us quit playing God. You know, I was so proud of y'all with Brother Kelly, the black preacher. Me and my wife had dinner with him and his wife, and he's just such a good friend, missionary, great preacher. Man, he's a good guy. Everybody realized that. You know what really, really goes on with him? I mean, he says, Pastor, I really appreciate the way your people treat us. That's the way we ought to treat people. Amen. That door out there ain't got no measuring tape on it. Ladies come here dressed inappropriate. It won't take them long. If our core ladies keep dressing right, they'll see how to dress. Ain't no sense in me getting up preaching a sermon on dressing. Amen. Let me go and say, no, I better not say that. It's easy to handle the bear till you get a hold of him. So the best thing we can do is keep our own doorstep swept off, love each other, and stand on this doctrine. And when people pull up at our church, you know what we ought to say? Pray. We're glad you're here, man. Thank God you're here. We're glad you're here. And you know, if any new families come in this church, the core people ought to get out of your seat and go make them welcome. Well, preacher, you know, that's just not me. Well, make it you. Make it you. I'm not emotional. Why you bless your wife out all the time? Use that energy for the glory of God. I mean, it's so easy. It's a southern thing. Watch this. How y'all doing? That's pretty easy. That's not rocket science. How y'all doing? Glad to have you. We don't like him. Why don't you like him? Sound like to me that's a personal problem. I can tell you this, Jesus likes them. You hear me? Jesus likes them. I got about 3 minutes left. I got me one of them nice Coach pocketbooks. And I was at a church that had never seen a preacher, you know, do nothing much more than what they'd ever seen. And I grabbed and I said, I tell you how come some of you ladies don't like visiting ladies. I got my Coach pocketbook and I said, because they're prettier than you are. Well, look at her. Look at her. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Somebody done knocked you off your little column, ain't they? Yeah. You know, somebody comes in pretty sharp in the book. You know what it makes me do? It don't make me want them to leave, brother. It makes me study harder to feed them. It's good for me. It does me good to see Brother Randy, Brother Adam get up and teach a message. Whether you know what it makes me do? Buddy. You let Brother Mike get up, preach a message like other Wednesday night with that flag. You know what makes me want to do? Makes me want to study to give you some. Don't make me jealous. Oh God, I wish we had 200 of these boys. Brother Dennis, young married Claire, do you think I've got 1 ounce of jealousy that he's got 100 of my young couples back in? I don't know where they all are tonight. That don't make me jealous. I praise God for Brother Dennis and pray for him often. I'm not jealous of Brother Dennis. We're in this body together. It ain't no big uns, ain't no little. You take Brother Buddy here. I don't know where he is tonight. There he is. Glad you're here tonight, Brother Buddy. Call some of your other members. Tell them you was here tonight. Let's say that he quit doing his job. There ain't a better... Let me tell you, I've been in a lot of churches now, but there ain't a cleaner place in town than this. You think we don't need that man? After your young'uns look like where they sit, you've been slopping hogs? I got to bring my baby 5 pounds of grapes and 15 pounds of Ritz crackers to make him sit through the service. Won't you take them out there and tear their hide up? My mama and daddy didn't go to the fruit stand before we went to church. Tear their hide up. That's why God put that cushion there. Tear it up. Oh, yeah, they'll make you think you're killing them, but they ain't. Well, I got to point one. Priesthood of believers. Look right here just a minute. Let me give you something right quick. 2 Peter 1:19. Then maybe next week I'll pick up. I'm about done. 2 Peter 1:19. He said, verse 20 is what I want. 2 Peter 1:20. Talking about the priesthood of believers. All Christians have equal access to God's revelation of truth and His throne of grace. knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. In other words, you can go as far with God as you want to go. You know why I get more than some of you? Because I study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to study this Bible. He's talking about growing. You've got to get in the Word of God to grow. Let me ask you something. Since you've been coming to this church, have you grown more than where you was when you first walked in this place? This book's the only thing that's going to grow you. And it's got to be a healthy diet of it. Christmas is unbelievable. Thank y'all for all the nice things you've done and you've brought. There's a lady today, they brought a tray. I mean, nothing but just cut out sugar. In little squares, you know. And so I got up this morning, a man brought some of that fresh pork sausage. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, it stinks the whole house up, neighbor. I'm talking about you can raise a garage door up and the neighbors know you're cooking hog sausage. Now I got me a big piece of that, some of that hook cheese. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Hook cheese! I mean something stay with you about 11:30. And I said, well, you know, they good, kind folks that brought that over about 12 o'clock, and I just started doing this. And I got on a sugar high. It's bad to live with me when I'm not on sugar. But I noticed about 3:30, man, it was bad. You know what? Put me in the bed. You know what? My diet wasn't right. But I'm not going to send them a card and not tell them to bring me back no more. I'm not going to do it. You know why so many Christians are so weak? Diet ain't right. A lot of times, the only time you pick your Bibles up when I tell you to turn to it Sunday morning, that's a shame. I wonder tonight if we was really honest, I want to ask y'all something tonight. As good a church as this is, I want to ask you something, and I'm done. Have you prayed today? I mean, have you went to an altar and prayed today for your preacher? Have you prayed for your family? Have you prayed for your church? Number two, have you picked a copy of the Word of God up since Sunday and got in it? Well, I can tell you this, if you hadn't, you're not growing. God wants us to grow. I appreciate you being here.